Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, you're joining us as we really get into the world of network administration.
That's right.
We've gathered a great set of resources, the official objectives for the CompTIA network, plus N10008 exam, and even a sneak peek at the N10009 objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we've got lists of hardware, software, and, well, what feels like a whole dictionary of networking acronyms.
It can definitely feel that way sometimes.
So our goal today, let's cut through the complexity, really unpack this stuff, and give you a clear understanding of what makes networks actually, you know, work.
Exactly. You've given us the blueprints, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Having both the current N10008 and the upcoming N10009 draft objectives
mm-hmm.
gives a really interesting view on how this field is evolving.
Yeah.
And when you add in the practical tools, the hardware, the software, and that specialized language, those acronyms, we can build a really solid picture for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
For you, the learner.
Okay, let's dive right into networking fundamentals then. And where else to start but the OSI model? It's like the 7-layer framework, right? Explains how network communication happens.
Absolutely. Both the N10008 and the draft N10009 really emphasize the OSI model. Physical, data link, network, transport, session, presentation, and application. All 7 layers.
Uh-huh.
What's truly insightful here, I think, is how this seemingly abstract model gives us a standard way to talk about problems.
Yeah.
Common language.
Oh, so?
Well, when someone says it looks like a layer 3 issue, network engineers, you know, across different vendors, different technologies, they instantly know what part of the process to look at. It gives them common ground for diagnosis.
Right, right. So it's not just memorizing names, it's practical.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And it's about understanding how data actually makes its journey. That's encapsulation and decapsulation.
Okay. Like sending a letter, you write it, put it in an envelope, address it, maybe add registered mail, that
yeah.
sort of thing.
That's a great analogy, yes. The N10008 objectives specifically mention things like the Ethernet header, the IP header, TCP or UDP headers, TCP flags.
Okay.
The payload, which is your actual data, and the MTU, the maximum transmission unit.
Mm-hmm.
Each layer adds its own information, its own header, like those different layers on your letter.
Got it. And understanding that helps track down problems when, say, the letter doesn't arrive.
Exactly. When the network misbehaves, knowing how it should be packaged is fundamental.
Okay, so our data's wrapped up. How does it find its way around? That's network topologies, right?
Hmm.
The layout.
Yeah.
And the network types.
Yep. Topologies are the physical or logical arrangement. You've got older styles like bus and ring.
Hmm.
Probably don't see those much now.
Not so much.
Then the really common star topology or hub and spoke. And then more resilient options like mesh and hybrid approaches.
What's the trade-off there between, say, star and mesh?
Well, it's interesting. They handle things like redundancy differently. A star network, everything connects to a central point. Easy to manage, maybe?
Yeah, sounds simple.
But that central point is also a single point of failure if it goes down.
Everything goes down, okay.
Right. Whereas mesh networks, where devices connect to multiple others, offer fantastic resilience.
Mm.
If one link fails, data can usually find another way,
right.
But they can be more complex to set up and manage.
Makes sense. And then the different types of networks, PAN, LAN, WebULAN, the ones we use at home or in the office.
Mm-hmm. Personal area, local area, wireless local area. Then you scale up.
Mm.
CAN for a campus, MAN for a city, WAN for, well, wide areas.
And the objectives mention newer things too, like SD-WAN?
Yes. Software-defined WAN. That's in both sets of objectives. Alongside established tech like MPLS and MGRE, it really shows how diverse networking is now.
And things like peer-to-peer, client-server.
Foundational models, yeah.
Yeah.
The N10009 draft mentions those. And you're right about SD-WAN and SDN in general,
yeah.
Software-defined networking. It's a big shift. It moves the control, the brains of the network, into software.
Mm.
This allows for a much more agile, policy-driven management. It's quite different from the older hardware-focused ways. And SANs, storage area networks, are listed too for that dedicated storage traffic.
Okay, let's get tangible. Cables and connectors. Seems basic, but the variety is, wow.
Oh yeah. Copper cables, you've got category 5, 5E, 6, 6A, all the way up to Cat 8 now, plus coaxial, coaxial.
And fiber optics, single mode, multi-mode.
Exactly. And it's not just the cable itself, but how you terminate it. Those TIAE, IA 568A, and 568B standards, critical for getting the wire order right inside the connector.
The orange, white, orange, green, white, blue. That sequence.
That's the one. Then you have all the connector types, LC, ST, SC for fiber, RJ11s for phones, RJ45 for Ethernet, F-type for CoFix, and more. Knowing which fits where is, well, it's a basic skill you just have to have.
Definitely. And transceivers, SFPs, QSFP.
Right. Small form factor pluggable, quad SFP. Those are the little modules that let devices connect to different cable types, like cyber into a switch port.
Gotcha. And cable management. Patch panels, punch down blocks.
The unsung heroes. Proper cable management isn't just neatness. It makes maintenance and finding faults so much easier. N10008 even mentions older blocks like 66 and 110. You might still see those in older buildings.
Okay. Moving from physical to logical, IP addressing and subnetting, this is the network's address system, basically.
Pretty much. Public versus private IPs. You know, those RFC 1918 ranges like 192.168 dot something.
Yeah. See that on my home router.
Exactly. And NAT network address translation, or PAD-OPA port address translation, that's crucial for letting multiple devices on your private network share one public internet address.
And the big one, IPv4 versus IPv6, that's a major focus.
Huge focus. In both current and draft objectives, you need to understand the differences. IPv6 has that massive address space, plus features like APA.
Automatic private IP addressing.
Right. If a device can't reach a DHCP server, it can give itself a link local address using ABPA, so it can still talk to other devices on the same local network. And EUI64, where a device can generate part of its IPv6 address from its MAS address. Very different from IPv4.
Uh-huh. And IPv6 address types, multicast, unicast.
Yep. Multicast is one-to-many, unicast is one-to-one, anycast is one-to-nearest, plus link local for the local segment and loopback for testing the device itself.
And subnetting, especially with IPv4.
Yes. A critical skill. Understanding the old classful system, A through E, is helpful context, but the real focus now is classless addressing, or VLSM variable length subnet masking, using CIDR notation.
That slash notation, like 24.
Exactly. CIDR lets you define network sizes much more flexibly than the old classes, being able to carve up a large network address range into smaller, manageable subnetworks. Core competency.
And IPv6 concepts in the new draft.
Right. N10009 mentions basics like tunneling IPv6 over IPv4, dual stack for running both, shorthand notation for those long addresses.
Which are really long.
They are. Also, router advertisements, SLAAC for automatic address configuration, and things like virtual IPs and subinterfaces are still important in both for load balancing or running multiple logical networks on one physical port.
Okay, now the actual language services used on the network, ports and protocols. Ports are like virtual doors, and protocols are the languages.
Perfect analogy. The N10008 objectives list tons of key protocols and their standard port numbers. FTP on 2021, SSH on 22, HTTP on 80, DNS on 53. You get the idea.
And the secure versions, HTTPS, SMTPS.
Crucial to know those too. SFTP for secure file transfer, HTTPS on 443, secure SMTP. The N10009 draft keeps emphasizing these fundamentals.
And it's not just the apps we see, right? There are underlying protocols.
Absolutely. IP itself, then ICMP for pings and error messages, TCP for reliable connections, UDP for faster, connectionless stuff.
Connection-oriented versus connectionless, like a phone call versus shouting a message.
Exactly. TCP is like the phone call that makes sure the message gets there in order. UDP is like shouting faster, less overhead, but no guarantee it's received or in the right sequence. Useful for different things.
Like streaming video, maybe?
Perfect example. A dropped frame isn't usually a disaster. And protocols like GRE and IPsec for VPNs are also key.
Yeah.
Understanding IPsec's components, AH, ESP, IKE, shows the focus on security too.
Okay, so we know how data travels. What makes the network actually do things for us? Network services. DHCP and DNS seem huge here.
They're the workhorses, absolutely. DHCP Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol automates giving out IP addresses and other network info.
It takes a lot of manual work.
Totally. You need to understand concepts like scopes, the pool of IPs, exclusions, IPs not to assign, reservations, tying an IP to a specific device MASI address, dynamic versus static assignment, lease times, DHCP options like setting the DNS server, tracking available leases, and DHCP relays or IP helpers to let requests cross subnets. Managing IPs efficiently is core admin work.
And DNS, the internet's phone book.
Exactly. Domain name system. Translates names like example.com into IP addresses computers understand. Knowing the record types is key. A for IPv4, AAA for IPv6, CNME for aliases, MX for mail servers, PTR for reverse lookups, and others like SOA, TXT, SRV, NS.
Wow, lots of record types.
Yep. Plus the whole DNS hierarchy, root servers, internal versus external DNS, zone transfers between servers, authoritative servers, TTL time to live for caching, forward versus reverse lookups, recursive versus iterative queries.
Recursive versus iterative.
A recursive query is when your DNS server does all the work to find the answer. An iterative query is when the server says, I don't know, but ask that server over there. The N10009 draft also adds DNS SEC do HE to our security focus.
DNS over HTTPS and DNS over TLS. Got it. What about time? NTP.
Network time protocol, super important, keeps all devices synchronized, essential for logs, certificates, distributed systems. You need to know about stratum levels, how close the server is to the source time, clients, servers. N10009 adds PTP and NTS for more precision and security.
Accurate time, often overlooked but critical.
Definitely an unsung hero.
Hmm. So how do we organize all this equipment? Network architecture. I hear terms like three-tiered spine and leaf.
Right. The classic three-tiered is core, distribution, access. Core is the high-speed backbone. Distribution handles routing and policies. Access connects the end users.
Makes sense.
For smaller networks, you might see a collapsed core, combining core and distribution. And spine and leaf is really popular in data centers now. High bandwidth, low latency.
And SDN changes this. Software-defined networking.
Big time. It's a paradigm shift. You need to understand the layers. Application defines needs. Mm-hmm. Control the brain. Infrastructure, the physical gear, and the management plane, how you configure monitor it. Top of rack switching is common with spine and leaf.
Okay. And traffic flow, north, south, east, west.
Good question. North, south is typically client to server traffic, maybe going out to the internet. East, west is server to server traffic, often within a data center. Designing for the right flow is key.
And considering different places, branch, office versus data center versus collocations.
Exactly. They have different needs. Plus, SANs storage area networks using FCOE, fiber channel, or ISCSI, for that dedicated storage traffic. N10009 also mentions VXLAN and DCI for modern data center stuff.
And the cloud. That's changed everything in networking, hasn't it?
Fundamentally. You need to know the deployment models. Public, private, hybrid, community. And the service models. SaaS, IISPs, DES.
Software as a service, infrastructure as a service.
Right, and a key concept is infrastructure is code IAC. Using code, scripts, automation tools to provision and manage your network infrastructure in the cloud.
Automation is huge now.
It is. Also, concepts like multi-tenancy, shared infrastructure, elasticity, scaling up, down easily, scalability, family growth. And of course, the security implications are massive when you move to the cloud.
How do we connect to the cloud securely?
Options include VPNs or private direct connections like AWS Direct Connect or Azure Express Route for guaranteed bandwidth and lower latency. Cloud gateways manage internet traffic.
Net.
And virtualization.
Oh,
we switches, VNICs, integral to cloud. Virtual switches, virtual network interfaces, NFV network functions virtualization, hypervisors, VPCs, virtual private clouds, network security groups, or lists to control traffic. It's all part of cloud networking. N10009 emphasizes VPCs, security groups ACLs, and cloud gateways.
Okay, let's list some actual devices. We need to know the difference between layer 2 and layer 3 switches, routers.
Yep, layer 2 switches work with MC addresses. Layer 3 switches can route based on IP addresses, like routers. Then you have hubs, older, simpler. Access points for Wi-Fi, bridges connect segments, wireless LAN controllers manage APs.
Load balancers, proxy servers.
Load balancers spread traffic across servers. Proxies act as intermediaries, often for security or caching. Then modems, cable DSL, repeaters, voice gateways, media converters.
Firewalls, VPN head-ins, IDS up.
Critical security devices. Firewalls control traffic flow. VPN head-ins terminate VPN tunnels. IDS detects intrusions. IPS tries to prevent them.
And it's not just network gear anymore, is it?
Yeah, not at all. Think VoIP phones, network printers, physical access controls like badge readers, cameras, HVAC sensors, and the whole IoT and IoT world.
Internet of Things, industrial IoT.
Like smart fridges.
Exactly. Smart speakers, thermostats, doorbells, but also critical industrial systems. SCADA, ICS, operational technology. Each needs careful network consideration, especially security.
So data's moving.
Yeah.
How does it pick the best path? Routing technologies.
That's the realm of routing, yes. Dynamic routing protocols learn paths automatically. You've got RIP, older, distance vector, OSPF, link state, EIGRP, Cisco's hybrid, and BGP, the internet's main exterior protocol.
Link state versus distance vector.
Basically, link state protocols like OSPF have a full map of the network, while distance vector protocols like RIP only know about their direct neighbors and how far away destinations are. Hybrids like EIGRP combine aspects.
And static routes? Default routes? Static routes are manually configured. A default route is the gateway of last resort, where to send traffic if there's no specific route. Also, concepts like administrative distance, how trustworthy a route source is, exterior versus interior routing, TTL.
Time to live. Stops packets looping forever.
Exactly. And routers select the best path based on factors like the longest prefix match and the route's metric cost, plus NatPat for address translation, and bandwidth management traffic shaping, QoS.
Quality of service, prioritizing traffic.
Right, making sure voice or video traffic gets priority over, say, bulk file transfers.
Okay, traffic reaches the local network, Ethernet switching takes over, VLANs.
Yep. VLANs virtual LANs let you segment a physical switch into multiple logical broadcast domains. Data VLANs, voice VLANs, the native VLAN for untagged traffic, SVIs, switch virtual interfaces, for layer 3 routing between VLANs.
And configuring the switch ports themselves.
Lots of options there. Tagging ports using 802.1Q for VLAN trunks. Aggregating links with LACP for more bandwidth redundancy, setting speed and duplex, flow control, port mirroring to copy traffic for analysis, port security to limit which MC addresses can connect, jumbo frames for larger payloads, auto MDIX so you don't usually need crossover cables anymore.
Phew. What about MAC address tables? PoE. Spanning tree.
MAC address tables are how switches learn which device is on which port fundamental layer 2 stuff. PoE, power over Ethernet, and PoE Plus provide power over the data cable, super useful for phones, APs, cameras.
Definitely.
Spanning tree protocol, SDP, is absolutely vital to prevent loops when you have redundant links between switches. And CSMASI, that's how old shared Ethernet worked, detecting collisions. ARP and NDP are for mapping IPs to MEL keys locally.
Wireless, everywhere now. We need to know the 802.11 standards, ABGNACX.
Absolutely. And the frequencies they use, 2.4 gigahertz, more range, more interference, 5 gigahertz, yeah. Less range, less interference, more channels, and now 6 gigahertz with Wi-Fi 6E and 7. Understanding channels, bonding them for speed, regulatory limits, it's all key.
SSIDs, the network names. Antennas. Encryption.
Yep. SSIDs, basic, extended, independent. Antennas omnidirectional versus directional. Encryption is huge. WPA, WPA2, and the latest WPA3 with personal, PSK, and enterprise using radius modes.
And cellular. 3G, 4G, 5G, MIMO.
Need to know the basics of cellular tech, CDMA, GSM, LTE, 5G. And MIMO, multiple input, multiple output, and MU-MIMO, multi-user, uses multiple antennas to improve speed and handle more clients.
Beyond the tech specs, what else matters for wireless?
So lots of practical stuff. Channel width affects speed. Band steering pushes clients to 5 gigahertz. Understanding BSSID, the AP's MA versus ES, the network name. Different network modes like mesh, ad hoc. Setting up guest networks with captive portals.
The captive portals, like at hotels.
Exactly. Authentication, PSK versus enterprise. Autonomous APs versus lightweight APs managed by a controller. And physical stuff, IDF, MDF locations, rack space, cooling, cabling, power, environment, all impacts wireless performance. N10009 also mentions 6 gigahertz and 802.11 for regulatory stuff.
Okay, network's up. How do we keep it running well? Monitoring.
Network operations and monitoring are absolutely vital. You need to track performance metrics, device stats like CPU, memory, temperature, network stats like bandwidth use, latency, jitter.
Latency is delay. Jitter is variation in delay.
Correct. SNMP's simple network management protocol is a cornerstone. Understanding traps, OIDs, MIPs versions, community strings, that's essential. Reviewing device logs, traffic audit, syslog, and understanding severity levels is crucial too.
And checking interfaces, link status, speed, errors.
Yes. Interface stats, link state up down, speed duplex, traffic counts, and errors like CRCs, giants, runts, monitoring environmental sensors, temp, humidity, power, establishing baseline so you know what's normal, using NetFlow or similar flow data for traffic analysis.
Tracking uptime, downtime, getting alerts.
Right. Anomaly detection and alerting are key for proactive management. Log aggregation with sign systems helps correlate events. N10009 really highlights flow data, packet capture, SIME, API integration, and network discovery tools.
Seems like good documentation is essential too. Plans, policies.
Crucial. You need plans for change management, incident response, disaster recovery, business continuity, SOPs, standard operating procedures, system lifecycle plans.
And security policies, passwords, acceptable use, BYOD.
Definitely. Hardening and security policies are key. Password rules, AUP, BYOD guidelines, remote access rules, onboarding, offboarding checklists, data loss prevention, they set the rules.
What about diagrams? Network map.
Absolutely essential documentation. Physical diagrams, logical diagrams, rack layouts, wiring maps, floor plans showing IDF, MDF locations, site survey results, audit reports, baseline configs, asset inventories, IPM records.
IP address management, tracking who has what IP.
Right, and wireless surveys, heat maps, plus agreements, NDAs, SLAs defining service levels, MOUs for understanding between parties, and 10009 stresses accurate diagrams, asset inventory, IPM SLAs, and lifecycle management like end-of-life dates for gear and software, and robust change management.
Okay, what about keeping things running despite failures? High availability, disaster recovery.
Paramount. HA and DR strategies are critical. Techniques include load balancing across multiple servers or links, multipathing for storage or network connections, NIC teaming to bond network cards.
And redundant hardware.
Yes. Redundant switches, routers, firewalls, power supplies, plus strong facility support. UPS, PDUs, generators, HVAC, fire suppression. You need to understand HA concepts. Cold, warm, hot sites for DR Cloud DR options, active-active versus active-passive setups, multiple ISPs, diverse paths, FHRP protocols like VRRP or HSRP for default gateway redundancy.
And those metrics, MTTR, MTBF?
Key metrics, MTTR, mean time to repair, MTBF, mean time between failures, RTO, recovery time objective, how fast you need to recover, RPO, recovery point objective, how much data loss is acceptable. These define your resilience goals.
Backups are obviously key too.
Absolutely. Backing up device configurations and states, and knowing how to restore them quickly, and testing your DR plan, tabletop exercises, full validation tests. You have to know it works. N10009 keeps emphasizing these metrics, site types, EK approaches, and testing.
Let's shift fully to security. Core concepts, CIA triad.
Right. Confidentiality, integrity, availability. Understanding threats, internal versus external. Vulnerabilities like CVEs, zero days, exploits. The principle of least privilege, give only needed access. Role-based access control. Zero trust models assume no implicit trust.
Defense in depth. Layering security.
Exactly. Using multiple layers. Mm-hmm. Segmentation, DMZs, demilitarized zones, separation of duties, NAC, network access control, maybe honeypots to lure attackers.
Authentication. MFA seems standard now.
Multi-factor authentication is huge. Also, TACAS plus 8, RADIUS, LDAP, Kerberos for centralized authentication, SSO for convenience, local accounts, 802.1 XEAP for port-based access control.
Security assessments, pen tests.
Important tools. Vulnerability scanning, penetration testing, actively trying to break in, risk assessments, posture assessments, SIEM systems correlate security logs, encryption in transit and at rest, PKI for certificates, IAM systems manage identities, geofencing, physical security. It's all connected.
Okay, what kinds of attacks are we defending against?
Lots. Technology-based. DOS, DDoS trying to overwhelm services, botnets under command and control, C2, on-path, man-in-the-middle attacks, DNS poisoning spoofing, VLAN hopping, ARP spoofing, row DHCP servers or APs, evil twins mimicking legitimate Wi-Fi, ransomware, password attacks, brute force, dictionary, MAC IP spoofing, Duth attacks kicking users off Wi-Fi, malware.
And human attacks, social engineering.
Big category. Social engineering, manipulating people. Phishing emails or messages, tailgating, piggybacking through secure doors, shoulder surfing passwords, dumpster diving for info, N10009 categorizes them similarly. DOS, VLAN hopping, M8 flooding, ARP, DNS poisoning, rogues, evil twins, on-path social engineering, malware. These threats persist.
So how do we harden the network against this stuff?
Proactive measures are key. Best practices. Secure SNMP config. Use RAGuard against rogue router advertisements. Port security on switches, dynamic ARP inspection, control plane policing on routers, private VLANs for isolation, disable unused ports and services always, change default passwords, use complexity, length rules, enable DHCP snooping, change the default VLAN away from VLAN 1, keep patches and firmware updated rigorously, use ACLs, role-based access, firewall rules explicit allows, implicit deny at the end.
What about wireless hardening specifically?
MAC filtering, though easily spoofed. Careful antenna placement and power levels to control signal reach. Isolate client and ingest networks. Use strong WPA2, WPA3, PSKs, or Enterprise Auth, EAP. Geofencing. Captive portals can add a layer. And consider IoT device access. Very carefully segment them.
Physical security seems important too. Locks, cameras.
Indispensable. Detection.cameras, motion sensors, asset tags, tamper detection, prevention.employee training, access controls, badges, biometrics, locking racks, cabinets, man traps, vestibules, smart lockers. And secure asset disposal, wiping data, factory resets, physical destruction if needed. N10009 highlights cameras and locks.
How about secure remote access, VPNs?
Increasingly vital. Site-to-site VPNs connect networks. Client-to-site VPNs let users connect, can be clientless, web-based, or use client software. Full tunnel, all traffic goes via VPN, or split tunnel, only corporate traffic. Revoke desktop, RDP, and gateways, SSH for command line, VNC, virtual desktops.
And managing devices remotely, in-band versus out-of-band.
Important distinction. In-band management uses the production network. outer band uses a separate, dedicated management network, generally more secure, especially if the main network is down. Jump boxes or bastion hosts or hardened systems use secure gateways for remote management. N10009 covers these methods too.
Okay, things break. Troubleshooting methodology.
It happens. Need a systematic approach. Step one, identify the problem. Gather info, talk to users. What changed? Can you replicate it?
Step two, theory.
Establish a theory. Question the obvious. Try different approaches, OSI model, top-down or bottom-up, divide and conquer.
Step three, test the theory.
Yep. Does the test confirm or deny your idea? If denied, form a new theory, if confirmed.
Step four, plan the fix. Step five, implement it.
Right. Then step six, verify. Is it really fixed? Did the fix break something else? And finally, step seven, document everything. The problem, the cause, the fix, the outcome.
Okay, let's apply that. Troubleshooting cable problems.
Common issues. Check specs throughput, distance limits. Cable types, UTP versus SDP, plenum versus riser, application rollover, crossover, PoE, problems like attenuation, signal loss, interference, EMI RFI, DV loss, bad pinouts, bad ports, open shorts on the wire. Check LED status lights, wrong transceivers, duplex mismatch, TXRX reversed, dirty fiber.
Lots of possibilities. Tools. Essential. Crimper, punch down tool, tone generator probe, loopback plug, OTDR for fiber distance breaks, multimeter. Cable tester wire mapper, network tap, fusion splicer, spectrum analyzer, snip strippers, fiber light meter, PoE tester. Use the right tool for the job.
What about general network issues? More logical stuff.
Okay, beyond physical. Review configs, routing tables, interface status, VLANs compared to baselines. Look for collisions, older networks, broadcast storms, duplicate MACs or IPs, asymmetric routing or loops, rogue DHCP servers, DHCP scope exhaustion, incorrect IP settings address, mask, gateway DNS are super common, missing routes, low optical budget on fiber, certificate issues, hardware failures, firewall blocking stuff, incorrect VLANs, problems with DNS or NTP, BYOD, custom.
Performance problems too.
Yeah.
Congestion, latency.
Right. Bottlenecks, low bandwidth throughput, high latency, packet loss, jitter. These need careful investigation, often using monitoring tools.
Need wireless troubleshooting. Different beasts sometimes. Check specs, RSSI signal strength, EIRP power levels. Consider antenna placement type polarization, channel utilization, is it crowded? AP association time. Site surveys are key. Common issues. Interference, microwaves, other Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, channel overlap, RF attenuation loss from walls distance, wrong SSID password, encryption mismatch, WPA2 versus WPA3, poor coverage, captive portal problems, client disassociation, roaming issues.
N10009 highlights specific issues too.
Yes, things like wrong cable types, crosstalk, interference, bad terminations, TXRX reversed, interface errors like CRCs, runts, giants, drops, POV problems, bad transceivers, STP loops or misconfigurations, wrong VLANs, bad ACLs, routing table errors, IP pool exhaustion, and performance issues like congestion, latency, packet loss, jitter for wireless, interference, signal issues, coverage gaps, roaming problems.
Okay, we need tools beyond the physical ones too, right?
Yeah.
Software commands.
Absolutely. Software tools, Wi-Fi analyzers, protocol analyzers like Wireshark, bandwidth speed testers, quart scanners, IP scanners, tools like iPerf for throughput testing, NetFlow analyzers, TFTP servers for firmware configs, terminal emulators like PuTTY, network mappers, hypervisors for virtual labs, monitoring tools, flow analyzers.
And command line, the classics.
Got it on the command line, ping for basic connectivity.
Right.
Ipconfigs, Windows or ifconfig, Linux Mac OS for local IP info. And SLOOKUP or dig for DNS checks, traceroute or tracer to map paths,
ARP to VLA,
ARP cache, netstat for network connection stats, host name to see the device name, route to view to routing tables, telnet, less secure but useful, or SLESH for remote access, TCP dump for packet capture, nmap for scanning, LLDP-CDP for neighbor discovery.
Plus basic switch router commands.
Yeah, platform specifics like show interface, show running config, show route, show MAC address table, show ARP, show VLAN, show power inline, essential for diagnostics.
And we cannot forget the acronyms, that massive list.
Oh boy. Yeah, understanding those is non-negotiable. It's the shorthand of networking. You need to know what AES, AH, BGP, BO, DES, ADERS, IGSP, SFP, FCOE, HDLC, ICMP, IGMP, IKE, IPSEC, IDSC, LDA, LODP, MAC, MAN, MIMO, MPLS, MTU, NAT, NDP, NFV, NFV, NDP, OID, OSPF, OTO, PAT, PDU, POPE3, PSK, QoS, RADIUS, RDP, RF, RFC, RIP, RTO, RTO, RTSP, SAS, SAN, SCADA, SFP, SFTP, SIP, SL, SSMB, SNMP, SOHO, SONNET, SPI, SOUP, SRV, SSH, SSL, SSL, SSO, SAC, VPN, TDR, TFTP, TIA, TLS, UPT, UPC, USB, UTP, VLAN, VLSM, VNC, VoIP, VP, VPN, VRP, VTC, WAN, WAP, WEP, WPA, WPS, WWN, XML, Z-Wave. I mean, the list goes on.
It really does. Feels like learning a new language.
It kind of is. Being able to decode that instantly is crucial for reading docs, talking to colleagues, understanding exam questions.
Absolutely. Seeing lists of switches, routers, firewalls, cables, patch panel servers, tools. It gives a tangible sense of what you actually work with. Great for planning a home lab too.
And the N10009 list updates that. Yeah, it reflects current tech. It also adds things like ISS cloud lab accounts and sample automation playbooks, runbooks, shows the trend towards cloud and automation skills.
So let's wrap up this deep dive. We've covered a ton of ground based on these CompTIA Network Plus objectives. Key takeaways.
Well, you should have a much more solid grasp now of the whole landscape. Foundational concepts, how things are implemented, operations, security, troubleshooting. It's all interconnected. We went from OSI basics to cloud and hardening.
Yeah, hopefully some specifics, maybe the cable categories or the different attack methods or how SDN works, spark some curiosity, showed the depth here. It's amazing how it's evolved from physical wires to software and cloud.
It really is dynamic. And for you, the learner, this framework is super valuable, whether you're prepping for the cert, boosting your IT knowledge, or just find networks fascinating. Seeing how these pieces fit together is key.
We've covered a lot, but honestly, each topic could be its own deep dive. We definitely encourage you to dig deeper into areas that grabbed you. The exam objectives themselves are a great roadmap for that.
Definitely. And maybe a final thought to leave you with. Our world relies more and more on seamless connectivity, right? Understanding network infrastructure is becoming less niche, almost like a fundamental digital literacy. So as this dependence grows, how do you think the network admin role itself will need to keep evolving to meet those future demands? Something to think about.